Amen. Thank you, Chuck and Debbie. And that is going to be true of all of us. And so it should cause us to just give more, just do more, no matter what. And that will, sure, it is a blessing to serve the Lord. Well, we are on the month of November, and our theme for the year for such a time as this. This month is a time for Thanksgiving. Time for Thanksgiving. And a lot of things about Thanksgiving that we'll be talking about. A lot of, obviously, in the Bible, it is all over the Scripture in reference to thanking the Lord and just being thankful. And Colossians 3 here is a beautiful, beautiful passage about the Christian life. And twice it is mentioned about being thankful. And so we're going to look at this. First, let's have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Father, for this day, and thank you that it's not raining or snowing. It's just a beautiful day, and Lord, I thank you that we can gather. Thank you for our building, for pews, for carpeting, for heat or air, whichever we need. Thank you that we have it, and I pray now that you will take us to the Word of God, and Lord, that again, we should be very thankful that we have it, your words. And words that can change our lives. And I pray you'll do that with your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. This passage is about the Christian life. I mean, really, day in, day out living. And how to live. And how God wants us to live. And how we can live as a Christian. Actually, as you read it, it just sounds wonderful. It sounds like, wow, I mean, that's almost like utopia. I can tell you this, that in heaven, it'll be all of that. There is no question about that. In heaven, it will be holy and beloved and bowels of mercies and kindness and humbleness and meekness and long-suffering and all of those kinds of things. It will certainly be in heaven. But it's a beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture, and it talks about mercies. It's interesting. It doesn't say just mercy. It says mercies. And that means that we are going to have to show mercy often. Amen. I mean, often. It's definitely plural. And when it talks about the bowels of mercy, it's just going to have to be our way to be merciful, and especially to one another. It talks about kindness. Talks about humility. Again, we have the mind of Christ. That is a mind of humility. No question about that. Talks about meekness. Meekness is not weakness, but it's power under control. And God's people are to be that. We're not... Hey, you know, we have God's power. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses unto Him. We have the power of God, and yet we need to keep ourselves under control and remain under, if you will, under the control of the Lord. Then it talks about being long-suffering. Long-suffering is being patient with people. And if ever anything is needed in this day, it's being patient with one another. And then it talks about forbearing in verse 13, forbearing one another. What's that mean? That means bear with one another. I ask this question, who is normal? Again, you know, we have this, well, I'm normal. I'm the one that's, yeah, but who really is? And who's to say what is? Every now and then you'll hear somebody say, well, they're acting normal. Personally, I think the shepherds last week, they acted normal. You know, they're up here rejoicing, praising the Lord, singing, not worried about what anybody thinks and worried about, you know, all the things that everybody seems to be concerned. They're just, again, who really is normal? We have to bear with one another because nobody is normal. The Bible talks about here forgiving. It says forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Just like Christ forgave. He hung on a cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They've spitted him, they've beaten him, they've hung him on a cross, and he's forgiving. And that's how we're supposed to forgive. Verse 14, and above all these things, put on agape, charity, love, God's love. Again, God's love is a self-sacrificing love. It is a love. The Bible says here, and I love the wording, which is the bond of perfectness, the bond of perfection, the bond of maturity as a Christian, the bond. What is it that holds everything together? What is the glue, if you will? It's love. It's charity. It's God's love. It's a self-sacrificing love. And in Jesus Christ, that's what holds it all together. That's why 1 Corinthians 13, it's a powerful passage of Scripture. It's not just about love, like, you know, husband and wife love. It's about God's love. It's agape love. It's charity. It is putting the loved one before the lover. And it is a powerful thing. And God calls it glue. Amen. I mean, honestly, if you're having trouble at home, there's probably a glue problem. You know, there's probably a love problem, an agape love kind of a problem. And so it talks about that. Verse 15, it says, let the peace of God. And God himself describes it to us as a peace that passeth understanding. We can't even understand it. It's peace in the midst of a storm. I mean, it's one thing to have peace. It's one thing to, get your paycheck and there's money in the bank and there's not very many bills and your health is good and, you know, everything's going well and you actually set your clock back like you were supposed to. I mean, everything's going good. You're happy. You know, that's a peace and that's a nice thing. But there is a peace that in the midst of trial, in the midst of trouble, down in the valley of life, there's a peace that God gives that we can't even understand. We can't explain. It passes our understanding. It passes other people's understanding. I've seen it. I've had it. I've known it. I can give this example to understand that peace. It's a piece of a woman standing at a casket, and in that casket is her 30-year-old husband who has just died. And by her side is her 7-year-old son. And she's totally at peace. And she's encouraging others as they come through the line. And she's hugging them and patting them on the back and saying, it'll be okay. Let me pray with you. Let me try to help you. It's a peace I've seen it at funeral homes. I've had it, experienced it at funeral homes and cemeteries where I can't explain it. It's the peace of God. And God says about his peace, in verse 15, he says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The word there, the idea is like a referee, you know. It's like a referee, you know, blowing the whistle when you're getting out of bounds or when you break a law or whatever. It's just, God, if I don't have peace about this, I want to have peace about this. The Bible says God is not the author of confusion. And where there's confusion, there's not peace. There's definitely not peace. And that peace of God that rules in our hearts, that is something we can have. The Bible says, by the way, as we're filled with the Spirit of God, we have that peace. And it just happens in our lives. And then he says this at the end of that in verse 15, he says, and be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. Be, you know, what's he say? He says, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Be thankful. Why? Well, because I can love. Why? Because I can be long-suffering. Why? Because I can forbear. Why? Because I can have that peace. Why? Because I can show mercy. Why? Because I can be meek. Why? Because I can be kind. Why? Because I can be long-suffering. Why should I be thankful? Well, because all these things can be all of us. And he says, you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Why? Because that's who I'm around. I'm around people like this. That's the body. That's my people. That's my crowd. And he says, and be ye thankful. What's he mean? Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. Hey, if your crowd is kind and merciful and they're humble and they're meek and they're long-suffering and they put up with each other and they forgive each other and if they have the peace of God and love is the ultimate thing and it's the glue that holds everything, wow, he says, and be thankful. Amen. Do not take it for granted. Hey, if that's your home today, be thankful that's your home today. I mean, he's just, again, be ye thankful. Isn't it a shame God has to tell us to be thankful? Isn't it a shame that tonight we'll have the Lord's Supper and God had to tell us, this do in remembrance of me. He had to tell us that. Why? Because if he didn't tell us, we'd forget. And he has to tell us and be thankful. Be thankful because that's what you have. Be thankful because this is all possible. And then he says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let God's word dwell in you and you will be wise. If you let the word of God dwell in you, I'm talking about you, you take it in and you hold on. And you let the word of God dwell in you in richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, teaching the truth of the word of God. Admonishing, what is that? That's encouraging. Encouraging one another. It's running alongside and saying, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. Admonishing one another. How? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We don't have a singing service just to say we had a singing service. It should be an encouragement. Amen. I heard Allie practicing the offertory, and she told me she was going to be playing for Miss Brown. And I just stayed in my office. I could hear, and then I got out in the hall where I could hear her better. And it was just such a beautiful offertory. I just enjoyed it so much. And it encouraged me. And then she said, I'll be playing for Miss Brown. And that encouraged me. I mean, she's going to play for the math teacher? Nobody likes math. I mean, everybody should like math. But I mean, gonna play. And it's such a beautiful song, you know? And it's uplifting and it's admonishing. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Why? Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Amen. And wow, I mean, it's not a performance, it's a blessing to somebody. I've told you the story about when Brenda and I were hippies and started going to church at the Baptist Church in Marion, Indiana, Marion Baptist Temple. And we just, you know, I mean, I was a rock and roller, and that's just all I knew. I you know, that and my mom's country and western that she sat and played as when she would get drunk and she would just sit and cry and listen to it. And I always thought, I'll never listen to stuff like that if it's going to make you cry, you know. And so that's what I knew. And I'd never been to church, didn't know any of this church stuff. And bless her heart, Mrs. Blinn got up and sang. And she got up and sang. And Brenda and I both, we're sitting there and we're in the far out groovy stage. And we're kind of sitting there, and she starts in. Oh, I can't do that. I better start. Anyway, you get the point. I mean, it was, and she's singing, and I'm going far out. And, you know, Brenda's going, shh, shh, you know. And I mean, but as she's saying, and I'll never forget this, tears were going down her cheeks. And do you know that there was never another time that she sang that I, in my heart or mind, criticized. It was always a blessing to me. Because I didn't understand that kind of music. I didn't, it wasn't what I grew up with. But I could understand those tears because it is Amazing Grace. Amen. You know, I'm not interested in a performance. What I'm interested in somebody when singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And that's possible today. Do you understand? That's possible. It's kind of like when I didn't know any of the songs and I sat at work doing my job and I started singing bits and pieces of all the songs. It had to sound terrible. But I'll tell you what, it sure came from my heart. It really came from my heart. You know, it's what we do in the name of the Lord. Verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed. It's whatever you say, whatever you do. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, what's that? What does that mean? Well, it just simply means that everything that I do, I'm going to do it in the name of Jesus. That means I shouldn't. There should be nothing in my life that I do that I would be that I think Jesus would be ashamed of. Amen. It's whatever I do, I'm going to do it. Okay, Lord, I'm doing this in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm stealing this object in the name of Jesus. That doesn't go together, does it? Lord, I'm cussing and swearing in the name of Jesus. That doesn't go too well, does it? And you understand. And again, it's because that's how I want to live my life. But here's how he ends it in verse 17. He says, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Giving thanks to God and the Father by him. It's like mercy. I can thank him for his mercy. It's like kindness. I can thank him for his kindness. And all the way down this list, as I look at this list, I recognize these are Christ-like attributes. And what I need to do is I need to recognize that my God is all these things to me. He is all these things. And I need to thank him for everything, day in, day out, the way of life for the Christian. And yet that one thing that is repeated, it is said two times, is just giving thanks. Now these are the ways of the Lord. It's how he is to us. But when we're not thankful for receiving, it affects us. It affects us. By the way, he goes on, and we'll not get into all that, but in verse 18, 19, and 20, he talks about the home. And if you're not thankful, it will affect your home. I'm talking about if you're not thankful to God for your home, it will affect your home. But if you're not thankful in your home, it will affect your home. There's no question about that. I mean, there is an effect. The Bible says, wives, submit yourselves. Well, nowadays, that's not real popular. And I'm sure as Tim was reading, you know, there were some men thinking, go ahead, read that next verse. Get that next verse. Don't stop. Maybe Tim was wanting to read that. But anyway, y'all talk about that later. But again, wait a minute. But that, in a world that is not content with God's plan, well, they're not content with God's plan. That's why women are wanting to marry women. It's why men are wanting to marry men. They're not content with God's plan. Wives are not content with God's plan where it says, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Oh, and husbands are not content when it says, husbands, love your wives. They're just not content, and therefore, they're not thankful. They don't like this. And oh my, today, verse 20, that's not a popular verse. That would really not go over well at all. Not politically correct, not elementarily correct. Children, obey your parents in all things. What about my rights? You can hear the fourth grader say in school or in the store to a mom who's frustrated. You see, Thanksgiving goes a long way. Amen. And I'm talking to you about the thanks of Thanksgiving. I don't know if I gave the title because they're all so beautiful. The thanks of Thanksgiving. When we're not thankful for receiving what God has for us, it affects us. It affects our home. Verses 18 to 20. Verse 22, it affects our work. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Now, again, is that what God says or not? Yeah, again, we don't necessarily have slaves and servants like that, but wouldn't that apply to work? Isn't there a boss? He gets real quiet. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. That's why I do it. That's why you do it. Again, it has an effect. If we're not thankful for what we have. When's the last time you thank God for your job? Let me go a step further. When's the last time you thank God for your boss? Again, it's a discontent that robs us from this. And so it ends, you know, verse 23, it says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." But it isn't, we're not doing it heartily when we're not thankful. It steals the heartily part of it, you know. It robs us. And so I wrote this down. You either take it for granted or you take it with gratitude. Where are you today? I mean, are you just kind of taking everything for granted, or are you taking it with gratitude? I have three things I want to give you this morning and we'll be done. Number one is the giving of thanks is proper. It's proper. It is the right thing. Psalm 103 verse 2 says, "Forget not all his benefits." Forget not all his benefits. We need oxygen. We have it. Isn't that a blessing? What a blessing. We just watched Brenda's father go to heaven because he couldn't, his lungs quit functioning and the oxygen, he wasn't getting the oxygen. And it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to watch. It's a hard thing to see people as they are losing that ability. It would be a hard thing if all of a sudden we had no oxygen in this room. It'd be a hard thing to watch. It'd be a hard thing to go through. Hey, but we do have oxygen. Isn't that something? We do have water. We do have food to eat. We do have a sun to keep things warm, even in Michigan. Amen. We do have all the things that we need to be alive. This is why, honestly, if you're here today and you've never been saved, you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, let me tell you, you're a crook. Because you're robbing God of the thanks that he deserves. Amen. For giving you a beautiful earth. How dare you go look at the oceans and say, "Wow, those are beautiful," and not thank God for it. How dare you gaze up at the stars in the sky and not stop and thank God for his creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. And you can't, because you've rejected God and shaken your fist at God and said, "I don't want you, God." How dare you drink a cup of water? How dare you take a bite of food? How dare you look at the hills and the valleys and the mountains and the trees and the forests? And how dare you look at all of God's creation? How dare you suck in oxygen without stopping and praising God and thanking him? But instead you shake your fist and say, "I don't want God. I don't need God." Oh, and without God, you would have nothing. But you see, the giving of thanks is proper. And the psalmist in Psalm 103 verse 2 says, "Forget not all his benefits," because sad to say, we do forget. Christians forget. Christians forget. As I started out, you know, we had to be told to observe the Lord's Supper so we'd remember him. We had to be told to eat a little piece of unleavened bread so we'd remember that his body was beaten and broken and nailed to a cross. Remember this. Remember. Remember. I hung on a cross for you. Remember that. We had to be told to remember by drinking a little cup of grape juice. Remember, I shed my blood for you. Remember, and sometimes we're so casual observing the Lord's Supper together. We're thinking about this, that, and the other thing, and he said, "Remember me." Why does he want us to remember? So that we'll fall down and say, "Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you." Because were it not for that blood, were it not for the broken body, were it not for Jesus hanging on a cross, we would die and go to hell. Forget not all his benefits. What happened to Israel? They forgot. All the things God did, and the Bible says, they forgot. You know what's sad? We forget. The giving of thanks is proper. To take blessings and benefits from God and not thank him, how wrong is that? How terrible is that for us to walk out of church today and not one time say, thank you, God, for our church, for the buildings, for the property, for the people. Thank you. Thank you, God. Well, so-and-so looked at me mean. Wow, such-and-such didn't smile. Wow, they didn't shake my hand. They sat in my seat. They parked in my spot. And to go through, that is your Sunday? Instead of saying, oh, God, thank you for the choir. Thank you for the piano player. Thank you for a piano that's in tune. Thank you for the organ player. Thank you for an organ that actually works. I've heard a lot of organs that didn't work. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for the ushers. Thank you for a nursery worker so we don't have little children. You ever been in a service where there were a whole bunch of little children screaming in it? I have. I've seen churches, brand new churches, where the nursery was in the back of the auditorium. That's always a lot of fun. The sounds, the smells. Thank you, God, that all of that is confined back there on the other side of that wall. Thank you. The giving of thanks is proper. When we were young, our parents taught us. Today, sad to say, kids, so many are being told, you have your rights. You have your rights. There's no thankfulness in you have your rights. There's no thankfulness. Thank God for parents who teach their children. You know, it's a blessing to be an American. It's a blessing to grow up in this country. It's a blessing to have a parking lot. It's a blessing to have buildings to go to. It's a blessing. God is so good to us. The psalmist said in Psalm 68 in verse 1, he said that the Lord daily loadeth us with benefits. I love that. Every day, he loads it up. Benefits. I mean, it's like a big truck pulling in and dumping benefits on us over and over. And you say, I'm trying to think. I got to write down a testimony at school. You know, we have these little Thanksgiving journals that our young people are doing. They have a Thanksgiving tree to put leaves on and, you know, and write. And I don't know what to say. And my Bible says that he daily loads us up with benefits. We grew up, write a thank you card. Write a thank you card. I remember in college, if somebody does something for you, write them a thank you card. Write them a thank you note. Right? I don't have time for that. I guess they won't have time to give you anything then. Oh, he daily loadeth us with benefits. Daily. Isn't that good? Daily. And that's what our Bible says here in verse 17. Giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And we have the idea here that it's just something that we are to do. Thanks. Thanks. By the way, if you give a dog a treat, at least he'll wag his tail. Jesus as our example, and we'll be looking at this throughout the month. On Wednesday nights, we're going to have the testimonies of Thanksgiving, and we're going to take time to take a lot of testimony. Well, I ain't going to come then because I don't have anything. Oh, you are perfect illustration. But you know, honestly, we're gonna talk about the testimonies of Thanksgiving, and we're gonna talk about how Jesus Jesus often gave thanks. Amen. Fed the 5,000, and he's looking at 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and there's actually 5,000 men, so probably 15,000 to 20,000 people. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What are you gonna say to God when you're getting ready? All right, folks, I'm going to feed you now. Here's our meal. Thank you, Father. That's what he did. He thanked the Father for providing. When's the last time you just really stopped and thanked God for providing? The giving of thanks is proper. Number two, the giving of thanks is possible. How do you know? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything, give thanks. God says, in everything, give thanks. So I know it's possible to give thanks. That means whatever's going on, I know it's possible to give thanks. Pouring down rain, it's possible to give thanks. You can find something to be thankful for. My hair's getting wet. You could be me. It just doesn't faze me. It's not a problem when it rains. Again, the giving of thanks is possible because God said in everything, give thanks. We'll visit that verse again sometime during the month. But we can give thanks. I broke it down. Four things. The simple blessings. Okay, just the simple blessings. All right, I'm just trying to help you. What are you talking about? Job said this. Job 10 and verse 12. Okay, here's Job. He's lost everything. Okay? He's lost everything. His body is diseased because God has allowed Satan to touch him, to take away from him. God has allowed that to happen. Job doesn't understand all this. And now his body has a disease. He has sores all over him and pus oozing out of those sores and running down his arms. He's a mess. His wife has told him to curse God and die. What's he say? He says to God, "Thou hast granted me life." Come on, Job. It's a miserable life. Who has a right to say a life is miserable? Who has a right to say they don't have a quality of life? Who has a right to make that call? Who has a right to tell a woman to abort her baby because it doesn't stand a chance to have a good life? No human has that right. No human has a right to say that a person in a nursing home, they don't count, they don't matter. Job said, "Thou hast granted me life." Job, how much money you have in the bank? Nothing. How much food you have in your cabinets? Just enough for right now. Job, how much land do you have? I don't have any land. How's your kids doing? We buried them all. Job, how's your health? Well, my skin's peeling off of my body. And pus is oozing down my arms. What are you thankful for? Because God gave me life. It's a simple thing, isn't it? By the way, it's something every one of us has in common. Check. Yep, I feel it. Now, if you don't feel it, let us know. Simple blessings. Heart, simple blessing. When's the last time you thanked God for your heart? I'll tell you when you will thank God for your heart. When you're with somebody in a hospital and you're listening to beep, 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 you'll thank God for your heart then. Oh, yeah. Thank God for your lungs. When's the last time you thank God for your lungs? You'll thank God for your lungs when you're with somebody in the hospital, as I've been many times, and they're going, you'll thank God for your lungs. Thank God for your senses. Hearing. There are some folks that can't hear. But if you thank God, no. Instead, you get in front of a mirror. My ears are ugly. A voice. Taste. Touch. Smell. How about when's the last time you thank God for your brain? You can think. You can reason. Go home and look at the cabinets in your kitchen. Open up your refrigerator. I guarantee there's stuff in there. How about you just turn a little knob and water comes out? And that's something. Or you are healthy. You don't trust the city of Adrian. But you have a nice little plastic bottle, right? And all you have to do is just turn that little lid and there it is. and it's fresh from some sparkling spring water from the city of Adrian. No. As long as you think it's good, that's all that matters. And the air that we breathe, and the car that you brought, that you drove, the roof over your head, the carpets, the pews, lights, air conditioning, heat, heat and air conditioning, that this time of year it's always tricky. Mountains and valleys and oceans and lakes, just, what are you talking about? Simple blessings, rivers, hills, trees, flowers, dogs, cats.
Amen.
The United States of America. Somebody smile. Hello. How you doing? I'm praying for you. Simple blessings. I'm thinking about today. You turned the key and the car started. Isn't that amazing? When's the last time you turned the key and the car started and you said, thank you, Lord? I was thanking the Lord this morning because there was frost all over the windshield. I thanked the Lord that I had squirt in the squirt thing. And amazingly, it actually worked. Amen. You say, well, why didn't you just get out and scrape it? Why didn't I get out and scrape it? Because I could squirt it. And your washer worked. And your dryer worked. And you lit the oven stove, or you turned it on, it's electric, and it worked. And you paid your bills. Isn't that great? And the doctor says, you know, for the shape you're in, you're pretty healthy. It's just those simple blessings. And yet, we go week after week after week and never stop and thank God for those simple blessings. Do you understand all these things that I just mentioned and more? It hit me yesterday. An atheist has no one to thank. Do you understand? They have no one to thank. But you do. The simple blessings. Then the second thing under the giving of thanks is possible. The special blessings. Not only the simple blessings. Well, how about the special blessings? Ruth is a great example in the Bible. You know, her hap was to end up in Boaz's field. Okay, she's poor. She has nothing. Her mother-in-law, they have nothing. Her hap, I preached on that. I love it. Again, it wasn't luck. It was God put her there. And Boaz tells those that his reapers, he tells them, now this girl, as she gleans the field, and the gleaners could get whatever was left as the reapers went through. The gleaners could come, and they were poor people, and they could come and they could gather anything that fell on the ground. And Boaz tells his reapers, he tells these men, he says, leave some handfuls on purpose. What's that mean? It means as they're harvesting, they dropped some. Can you see Ruth? Honestly, can you see her? Wow, look at all this. And she's gathering everything up. And woohoo! Wow, this is good. Oh, I'm so excited. And I mean, she has worked hard. Notice she worked to get it. It wasn't a handout. I thought I'd throw that in. But it's a special blessing, wasn't it? You know, it's like an answer to prayer. Isn't that a special blessing? It always is to me. An answer to prayer. A deal at the store. Oh, God, help me get a good deal. Those are so good. Janie gives testimonies often. We hear about it. And you know, Janie, don't ever tire of that. Because it's praise to God. Yeah, a deal at the, how about a check in the mail you didn't know was coming? From the IRS. Really? Watch the strings. How about this? This is the car started wouldn't when it wouldn't before. Okay, I'm not talking about just the car started because we take that for granted. I'm talking about the car started when it wouldn't before. And you prayed and said, oh God, please start my car. Please start. Now, typically, you're going to have to turn the key. Usually, it won't just start. Now, if it does, call me. I'm very interested in a story like that, but usually you are going to have to turn the key. Happens all the time, though, to God's people. You got a raise at work. Your sickness was healed. Just gone. It's just gone. Doctor said, I don't understand it. You're okay. There goes my new car. You don't have to be treated. You don't need the surgery. Sickness is healed. Or how about a special blessing? God gave you the wisdom to make the right decision. Isn't that good? Simple blessings, special blessings. Again, the giving of thanks is possible. How about this one, the third one? The spectacular blessing. What are you talking about? Well, he did part the Red Sea for the children of Israel. Amen. That was pretty spectacular, wouldn't you think? Boy, if I could see that. Feeding of the 5,000, that was pretty spectacular. I love the story. You know, well, that's for children. I guess I'm a kid then, because I love it. And Jesus did give thanks, right? How about your last spectacular blessing? What are you talking about? I'm talking about when your loved one got saved. Your last spectacular blessing. How about when your loved one was spared? Spectacular blessing. I'm talking about where God did something spectacular. I can go back to Brenda's dad going to heaven. You talk about a spectacular blessing. For years, I have heard that man say, I have never had pain. I'm ready to die. I'm ready to go to heaven. But I've asked God not to let me have pain. And you understand what he had, pulmonary fibrosis. They said there would be a lot of pain. But that man never had any pain. Had a heart attack. The doctor said, when you wake up after the surgery, they did a triple bypass, I believe it was. They said, you are going to hate us because of the pain you're going to have. He went into a coma after his heart surgery. And for 7 days, he was in a coma. And by the time he woke up from that coma of his heart surgery, his body had healed enough. When he woke up, he said, I don't have any pain. This isn't so bad. I could recommend this to others. We stood over him and begged God and prayed and wept and cried, and he's sleeping through the whole thing. Are you listening? And when he died and went to heaven, he was in his chair, sitting comfortably, and just went. There's no sign of struggle, no sign of writhing, no sign of pain. To me, you know what that is? That's a spectacular blessing. You know, if you pray for miracles, God answers prayer. And if you haven't seen a spectacular blessing, I have to wonder what you're praying about. Simple blessings, special blessings, spectacular blessings. And then the fourth thing, and I'm just about done, the salvation blessings. You know, you can always fall back. When you tire of praising the Lord for the flowers and the mountains and the oceans and oxygen and your heart beating, and when you get tired of praying about all that, you know, you can always fall back on, Jesus, you save my soul. And to know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. To know I'm going to heaven. To know I'm a child of God. To know I'm secure in Jesus Christ. To know that I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And in heaven, there's a mansion for me. To know that my next big trip could be the rapture. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we're planning on going pretty far away. We're kind of thinking about a trip to Morenci here in the near future. Oh, I got something bigger than that. It could be the rapture. You talk about a trip? That's going to be a lot of fun. I've never been excited about high places. And in the clouds is pretty high. Then we come riding down on white horses later on. I've never been that excited about horses. But that could be our next trip. And, you know, to think that the devil can't have me, He is so nasty. Phyllis calls him a creep. He is a creep. The devil can't have me and God won't lose me. I'll tell you what. You say, I just can't really think of, I'm trying to get something for my journal. Write that one down. The devil can't have me and God won't lose me. Or, write one for one day and one for another day. That way you can stretch it out. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Wow. Do you understand the worst thing that can happen to me today? And I'm so thankful for this. The worst thing that can happen to me is I die and go to heaven. Yeah. I'm talking about no guilt. I'm talking about no sin. I'm talking about buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I will live eternally, praise God. My sins are, you ready? G-O-N-E, gone.
Amen.
That's why I'm thankful today. They're gone. Do you understand? It's gone. Every sin, it's under the blood of Jesus Christ. Not just past, not just present, future, they're gone. As far as east is from the west. Gone. You got something to thank God for. It is possible, isn't it? Yeah, but I'm going through a hard time. Okay, but how about those simple blessings? Think about some. How about the special blessings? Think about some. How about the spectacular blessings? Maybe it's been a while. How about that salvation blessing? Oh, if you're here today without Christ, you can have that salvation blessing. By realizing you're a sinner and realizing Jesus died to pay for your sins in full and by calling on the Lord to save you today. And you can sing with me, my sins are gone. The giving of thanks, it is possible and it is proper. And then the last thing, the giving of thanks is profitable. It is so profitable. Now, I don't do things for people because they thank me. I do like to hear thanks, though, and it may influence if I ever do anything again. I'm kind of like that, and I know God likes to hear thank you, but that's not what I mean by profitable. If I say thank you to God, he'll keep doing. Well, that isn't what I mean by profitable. Here's what I mean by profitable. It's based on the text right here that I just read a little while ago. It's based on this life right here in this little, it's a little bigger on mine because my words are bigger so I can see them. But it's this little section right here, verses 12 to 17, the Christian life. It's to be thankful and to have these things in my life. It's the best life. To be thankful, it's the best way to live. It's to stuff in the past, I'm leaving it there. All the garbage and all the stuff and whatever somebody did or whatever that's where it is. I'm not going to dwell on that. Because if I dwell on that, it steals my thankfulness. Yeah, what the newspaper said, what the news people said, some of that stuff, I'm not going to dwell on that stuff. Because it steals my opportunity to be thankful. It is right here. This is the best life to be thankful. The thanks of thanksgiving. It's proper, it's possible, it is profitable. You want to know why you're a grump? Probably because you're not thankful. So many things in our lives go back to that very thing right there. Be ye thankful. Thankful. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.